Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. You're right, John.
Yes, good. Thank you.
Now, we're just, you know, pre-chatting there about what to talk about there, and you have the same, I think, conviction or persuasion as me. I've been saying this week there's been a tide turn, you know, definitely with the inflation data coming down. Now, you know, I have to understand this. If you look at the way inflation works, it's almost like, you know, that old super tanker turning that round. It still takes a while to slow down. But once it does start slowing down, you know, then it's hard to get started again or whatever. You know, it literally has momentum with it. And I think if we saw the way the markets rallied on Wednesday when our data came out, inflation data in the UK came out, it was almost like going back to vaccine day. You know, when Pfizer announced that vaccine and the markets rallied, and it was a mini version of that, a UK version of that, you know, where liquidity came into the market and almost a change in the tide, you know, as if that was the market bottom is now behind us. Okay, it's not, you know, plain sailing here, still a bit of a choppy seas, but at least the wind is starting to change in our direction, you know?
Yes, and we've definitely noticed it this week. We've seen a few shares turn around. We've seen a couple of deals get done. We raised £6.5 million for Savannah Resources, for example, following their, you know, positive news on their environmental permits in Portugal. So that's all looking good. Even more difficult deals are being done. And there's clearly a new mood of enthusiasm within the small cap markets.
That is very interesting to hear your take on it, John. So I suspected it. I did say this with our live show, Taking Stock, with John Heumann, who's ex-editor of Investors Chronicle. And he was more cautious. And I said, no, I think what starts seeing now is a bit more liquidity, a bit more deals going down in the junior end of the market, and that will prove it. And so to have you saying that confirms what I thought, you know, on Wednesday. And that's nice because, you know, the big problem was, you know, when it's sort of the tap gets switched off, the liquidity tap, you know, the companies at the bottom, obviously you can even get less of the drippers coming through. So it almost dries up completely at the bottom of the market, to the smaller cap and micro cap end. And so it's nice seeing the tap is sort of switched back on a little bit and it's dripping down again, liquidity, you know. So that's good. But obviously with resources and, you know, commodity stocks, a lot is reliant on China, John. What's happening in China? Anything new happening there? Because they've had disappointing figures out. So anything? Because they need to stimulate the market as well, don't they, really?
Well, the market is definitely primed for a stimulation announcement out of China. They keep announcing lots of relatively small moves. So they set out 10 steps to support the auto industry, including lower costs for electric vehicle charging, for example. Mm-hmm. They've got another 31... measures that they want people to follow, or guidelines on the development and growth of the private sector in China, which is interesting. So it's the Communist Party is saying, look here, you chaps in the private sector, we want you to sort things out. And they at the same time, they also make it clear that in China, it's the state that leads policy. And they make it. They also say in America, it's the companies that lead the state, mm-hmm. and so they're saying, well, we're doing it the other way around, and we've got 31 guidelines, and within those guidelines, some of it looks actually quite Thatcherist. They want to break down barriers for market access. Mm-hmm. They want less paperwork, easier registration. Easier annual inspections, all those sorts of things, certifications. So they really want to sweep away the red tape, as they say. Now, I know Boris said he was going to do some of this, and I'm not sure it really happened. But sweeping away red tape is fantastic, so long as nobody starts polluting the environment and those sorts of things. So, but when the Chinese state says they want this to happen, it has to happen, otherwise you end up in some kind of internment camp.
I mean, I was trying to figure out there who tells more lies, the Chinese government or Boris Johnson. It's a fine line. But let's be honest, because did you mention before we came on that they've announced some... no, they haven't, but there's been some investigations going on about the COVID deaths. And I thought, well, it's obvious they've been lying about that. You know, if you just look at the pure stats of COVID starting in a city bigger than London, and yet their total deaths are 4,000 across the... They've got a 1.5 billion population country, and yet they got less, you know, what, a tenth of what we had in COVID deaths. Are you kidding? There was no vaccine in that city at all for months and months, and even the vaccine they had was dreadful. So how are they claiming to have a tenth less deaths than us? I mean, who are they trying to kid? Doesn't stack up at all.
Well, the New York Times has done a big investigation, and they reckon about 1.5 million excess deaths from COVID in China since the end of the government's zero COVID policy. Now, remember, there are a lot of people in China anyway, so 1.5 million isn't such a huge number, but it's still a bigger, much bigger percentage than we've had in the West. And they seem to be reasonably confident of this because there's a 70% rise in the number of cremations in the first quarter in one province that they looked at, and they reckon, well, this is probably what we're seeing across the country anyway. So there's an extrapolation there. But I'm sure that, you know, they're just grabbing the bits of information they can get. I remember when COVID first came out, there was a US hedge fund was using satellite data on emissions over Chinese crematorium in Wuhan to try and estimate the number of bodies being burned. And coming out with some fairly horrific statistics, which wasn't good right at the beginning of the pandemic.
On the more
positive side, the strains of COVID running around these days carry a lower mortality rate, definitively lower than the original strains. Some of that is because, well, we've all got slightly used to it. Mm-hmm. And some of it, you know, the people who unfortunately were going to really suffer from COVID have really suffered from it. And those and anyone who's had it before is likely to have a degree of protection from that. In fact, I was speaking to somebody earlier who said to me he'd just got tested for COVID for the fourth time.
Yeah. Well, didn't they say that Financial Times here, China deletes COVID-19 death data. But if you look at the stats, it doesn't, like I said, there are 10 cities bigger than London, and most of them I've not heard of in China. And number nine is Wuhan. And like I said, that is his ninth biggest. It's like literally, it's swept through there. And, you got, I don't know what, I've never heard of half of these. Shanghai, Beijing, Guangzhou, Shenzhen, Chengdu, Tianjin, Shangqing, Ningjiang, Wuhan, Xi'an. Like they carry on, and even it's phenomenal. They have. I'm looking at Wikipedia here. They've got 50 cities above 2 million population. That's crazy, isn't it? That's 50 cities. And we didn't have many people die from COVID. Let's talk about John. Company news. One of your favourites, new favourites. Well, it's been a favourite for a while.
Well,
Cornish Metals.
Oh, Cornish Metals. Well, yes, because it's where I started my mining career. Working with a shovel and a sledgehammer
and
pasties. Yes, in that mine. It was good training. It was hard, but it was good training. So I remember it well. I have a great affection for that mine and the people who worked in it, some of whom are still associated with the project, actually. Mm. So they're putting a second pump in for dewatering. They've pretty much finished all the facilities for cleaning the water as it comes out of that mine. It has to go through filters and reed beds and things like that, because nobody wants to have this ruddy brown color around the side of
in the estuaries.
Well, there's nothing, you know, I don't think there's anything poisonous about it, but people don't like the look of it in what is a tourist area these days on the coast of Cornwall. So that second pump is going in. They talk a little bit about where they've got the equipment, et cetera, et cetera. But the critical bit is it's all happening. And there was a bit of talk on confirming the metallurgy. So the guys are optimizing the process plant, and hopefully there'll be some better news on what they expect the recovery rates to be going forwards. Because if you think this mine closed in the 90s, there's been a whole heap of, shall we say, new developments and optimizations for the processing of these sorts of materials. And so the mining companies can do better these days than they used to. And they often do. So it's good to see that work ongoing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. No, you get some brown liquidy slurry coming around there. You need to get a pump in that shaft. Get that out. Beowulf Mining, John, BEM. What's happening there, fella?
Well, again, focusing on the battery metal side of things, they had a graphite joint venture in Finland with some Indian guys who then, for whatever reason, pulled out, or it fell apart. So they're now going it alone. They've got a pre-feasibility study. And that shows very good value on this project, actually. A post-tax NPV of $242 million. An IRR. In fact, we look at IRRs more these days for confidence than NPVs. And that's 39%, so that's excellent. There's a CapEx of $117 million for this project. It's the project in Finland. They're looking to produce 20,000 tons a year of coated spherical graphite. And I believe the margins on this are really very good. And, of course, the European battery industry is absolutely desperate for this stuff. It doesn't want to be held to ransom in China. I mean, it's a little-known fact that the Chinese stopped supplying graphite into Sweden a while ago. They weren't being helpful. Because Sweden is looking to develop its own graphite business, so China was being a bit mean, as it does.
I like the way you said that. China's being a bit mean, actually. Of course, you know what? I know. I think it's awful the way we're going. If China could hold the world to ransom on critical metals, that'd be a scary idea. Was that likely to happen? Is it enough around the world?
Well, you know, they could definitely do it already if they wanted to. They control so much of many of these, well, all the critical metals and some of the non-critical metals as well. So, yes, I mean, we should be very careful. I mean, the West is catching up quite fast. You look at companies like Rainbow Rare Earths, they have a process which is being trialed at the moment at a pilot scale, which is quite a good pilot scale plant. For the extraction of the rare earth metals, the neodymium, praseodymium, dysprosium, terbiums, and they could do more if they want to.
Oh, look at you. That's like a party trick, that, John.
Yes, we get used to talking about this
stuff. You should do a song like that at a party, really. Yeah, they all rhyme, don't they?
Yes.
Cool. And, okay.
But the Beowulf news is good, because it's actually quite difficult to produce coated spherical graphite, and having putting a plant together, I think will be a really important step forwards for the company. So, I mean, they've been plugging away for years on this thing called the Kallak iron ore project, which is actually a very good quality iron ore magnetite, but the Swedes have been difficult with the permitting. So in the meantime, and I said to them a few years ago, I said, why don't you go and do something else nearby? These battery metals are looking rather interesting. So, okay, graphite isn't a metal, but it's a battery mineral, and it's definitely a good place to be.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Next up, Soul Gold, the gold of the soul.
Oh, yes. So news this week that they've signed. They've agreed with the Ecuadorian government fiscal terms for their paying taxes in Ecuador on the Cascabel project. It's a huge project. It's not going to get financed overnight. I mean, officially, the capex is somewhere between $2.5 and $3 billion. Unofficially, one suspects the capex is going to go higher. I mean, the life of mine capex is over $10 billion. So that gives you an idea of the scale we're talking about. I mean, you need to be. It needs more than one large mining company to do it, probably. And we know that Newcrest and BHP are involved. The new management team have been working hard with the government, and I guess they'll carry on with the various feasibility studies until the boards of BHP and Newcrest decide they want to put that kind of money in. But I mean, to those of us who perhaps ought to know more about the project, we can, you know, the challenge is what is the real capital cost of this project really going to be, and do these companies dare to go for it?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's look at the chart. So SOLG is ticker, of course. SOLD, not slog. I'll put that in then. I've done it again. SOLG. Okay. Yes, it's down from highs there. I've seen worse charts, though, to be honest. It's quite a volatile chart, that, isn't it? Gone from 46 pence in a range of, like, down to 17 pence up and down in the last couple of years. That's okay. Next one is Sovereign Metals. Big deal here, John.
Well, this is big news. I mean, Sovereign Metals have a fantastic rutile element. Well, it's a rutile deposit, but it also has a layer of graphite in it, or several layers of graphite. So you're mining the resource for one thing, but you're going to get another pay stream out of it as well. And Rio Tinto have recognised the quality of the project, and they're making a $40 million investment into it. Given that Rio's is pretty careful and cautious about what it goes into these days, that's actually a huge endorsement for the company and the project and the management team. It's very, very impressive. So, frankly, we all ought to be, we should all be investing in this one. Rutile is a popular
research
commodity. Sorry?
I said, do your own research, everyone.
Yes, of course.
You can't just tell people to invest, John. Right, invest in this, everyone. Put your
Absolutely
money in
no.
quick. Now, do your research. There's a disclaimer at the start and end of the podcast. Don't worry, John. You're okay.
Well, we are no Madam Broker, so yes, I suppose we would say that. But actually, Rio Tinto, well, it's just a fantastic endorsement.
Yeah.
They have it's an enormous resource. It's very hard to find rutile in the world these days. Other mining companies that produce titanium mineral sands, which is what rutile is. And rutile is a good, really good quality form of titanium mineral, and this, well, it's hard to find, and the Rio Tinto recognise this. They see it should be a low cost mining project. They're going to use what's called monitor mining, where they literally wash the material down using high pressure hoses. It's a very low carbon footprint for a mining project. It just ticks all the boxes. So, when we see this sort of project, we get a bit excited.
Yeah. It's funny. It's hard for everyone's, zero carbon these days operations. How achievable is that, really? It's not, is it? I mean, because the funny thing is, I know there's been lots discussed about this, but, you know, everyone's going to EVs and it's cleaner a lot. Maybe net it is, but there's still, mining and all that needs to be done. So is it a lot different from mining anything else?
Well, there won't be much carbon produced in the mining of this, but the processing, of course, tends to be slightly power intensive. Because you've got two minerals coming out of this, you've got the rutile, which is the titanium mineral, and then you've got the graphite, which is also interlayered. If you say, well, we're going to produce X amount of carbon to produce the rutile, but we're actually getting the graphite out, shall we say, for free, you can offset one against the other. So, yes, I mean, nothing truly is ever carbon neutral, but it's going to be close to it.
Yeah. Okay, marvellous. Anything else, John, or is that just about wraps it up, doesn't it?
I think we covered it. Look, the world is looking like a better place. Interest rates hopefully coming down again now.
Oh, okay.
Hopefully. Inflation seems to be coming off. Maybe we even get some positive news on Ukraine sometime soon.
Yeah, hopefully. Well, I thought you were saying there, John, yeah, the world is a better place. Now we've had that half an hour chat.
That too.
Okay. Cheers, John. Speak to you next week.
Thank you, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.